Scripture this morning. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Now, if somebody beside you don't have a Bible, you might want to share yours with them this morning. I will just show you one verse of Scripture and that you've heard preachers use many times, and I have. But I feel like for some reason this morning the Lord would lay this message on my heart. And it's for somebody. I did this a couple years ago, or along these lines. So for you that were here when I've done something like what I'm going to do this morning before, you just bear with me for a few minutes, because there's so many new people in here that need to hear this. This is a verse of Scripture that talks about this. In the part of country that we live in, is called the Bible Belt. All these foothills and mountains of western North Carolina, upstate South Carolina, upstate Georgia, Tennessee, Virginia, and Kentucky, called the Bible Belt. A friend of mine, Ralph Sexton, said years ago, he said that you could put a compass, if you had a map, on Asheville, North Carolina, and draw a circle of about a 150-mile radius of Asheville, North Carolina. There's more strong Bible preachers come out of that spot than anywhere in the world. That takes in down to Atlanta, Chattanooga, Greenville, South Carolina. I'm telling you, but this is a hot spot. And I'm telling you, people, if this is a hot spot, I'd sure hate to see the cold spot. If this is the best, God have mercy on us from the worst. Because we're in trouble. And I know there's revivals breaking out in other countries and stuff. Thank God for it. But I love living in this part of the country. But the bad part about living in this part of the country is these mountains are filled with people. I mean, it's hard to find somebody that'll tell you they're not saved. Just about. You go out visitation tomorrow, and I'll guarantee you, if people that's lived and bred and raised around here, probably 8 of 10 will tell you they've been saved. Whether they have or not, I don't know. It's between them and God. But something happened. These mountains are full of people who used to serve God, used to go to church, used to sing the choir, used to preach, used to teach Sunday school. Now, that's the truth. I mean, somebody said, well, oh, so-and-so I work with, he used to be a preacher. So-and-so used to be a singing group. What in the world happened to all these people? How come they don't go to church no more? That's what this verse deals with this morning. Look at Galatians chapter number 6. And I want to show you a verse of Scripture here this morning here in the Word. Chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and look at verse 7. He said this, ye did, past tense, run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? These Galatians started out real good, and somebody or something messed them up. In the context, we know that's talking about salvation by grace, and they was trying to get them mixed in with works. But the point I want to bring out of this verse this morning is this. That verse said, who did hinder you? What happened? What knocked you off the track? And so I want to preach this morning on the subject, what has hindered you? What has hindered you? I want you to do me a favor this morning. I want you to just forget that I'm up here preaching. A lot of people, when a preacher starts preaching, they say, well, it's going to be 25 minutes here. I'm just going to zone him out, and I'm going to take my nap, or I'm going to look at a book, or I'm going to file my fingernails. I want you to listen to me this morning, and listen very carefully. You imagine that it's me and you, just me and you, sitting over in my office. And you come to me one day, and you say, Brother Danny, I remember when I could feel God. Brother Danny, I remember when I used to sing in the choir and the glory of God would come on me. I remember when the preacher get up and start talking, I remember I started crying. Brother Danny, I remember back years ago when I wanted to go out and witness. I want to teach Sunday school. I even felt like I was a preacher. What's happened to me? All right, let's just imagine. Me and you sitting in my office. Where I'm across the desk, and I'm going to ask you some questions. And I'm going to say, like a doctor. When you go to the doctor, you don't just go in there and say, all right, doc, I'm sick, pick me up. They start asking you questions. Well, where do you hurt at? They say, try to get to your problem. They try to figure out what's wrong with you. Well, I'm having pain in my back, my throat, my head, my eyes, my feet, toenails. Something's messed up. And you, the doctor, by process of elimination, finds out what ain't wrong with you and then tries to help you what is. Now, let's imagine this morning that you're laid out here on this table here. I'm going to bend over and ask some questions. And let's see if we can figure out what got you off the track. If we can figure out what got you off the track, maybe we might. That's what Paul said. He said, what's hindered you? Who did hinder you? Now, let me illustrate it like this. Let's just say this morning that there's a young man. Come here a minute, Leaf. Why don't you stand up here and be a young man living for God? Leaf is, how old are you? 19? 18? 19? All right. That's the same age I was when I started preaching. Amen? Well, I was preaching revivals when I was that age. That's hard for me to believe. Leaf is 19 years old. He can't even say his ABCs. And, no, he does pretty good. But I tell you what he can do. He can whip up on you. I guarantee you that. But anyway, I remember the Sunday morning that Leaf got saved. Right in here on this altar. Right in here, I believe it was, when he got saved. Now, let's imagine. He gets saved. As soon as he gets saved, he finds out, praise God, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live for Jesus. Woo! Treading the pilgrim pathway. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. It's good to be an old saved, dependent, fundamental, King James only, Bible believing, fanatic, spitting, slobbering. Woo! Hallelujah! I've hooked up with the right group. I'm ready to serve God. You remember feeling like that? I do. I'll never forget, man, when I went down there at that camp meeting, I heard Ed McAbee and Larry Krimover and all them boys. I said, glory to God, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. Hey, man, put the pedal to the metal. Let's go. I want to serve God. You remember them good old days? Nod your little heads at. You remember how excited you was? Remember when you wanted to read your Bible? You didn't have to make yourself get your 5 chapters in. You remember when you couldn't wait till church started instead of can't wait till it's over? Remember them days? That's where he was. Now look. Now the Bible said when we get saved, we're looking unto Jesus. Let's say, come over here a minute, Leaf. Let's do it the other way. Come over here. Stand right here. And that cross over there on that flag, that would be the Lord. That's a Christian flag right there, this big one. And he's looking at the Lord. The Bible said, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. Now, when we get saved, we're supposed to what? Keep our eyes on who? Jesus. That's right. We're supposed to keep our eyes on the Lord. That's extremely difficult to do. There's so much stuff around you. And you can't even see him with a natural eye. We have such a tendency to look at what we can see instead of looking at what we can't see. There's only one way to look at something you can't see. By faith. You have to do it by faith. You can't see what you can't see unless you see it by faith. And so the Lord says this. And anyway, he gets saved and he said, praise God, I can't wait to go to heaven. I'm going to give out tracts. I'm going to go out on visitation. Woo! Hallelujah! I never forget when I first started preaching. I preached all over the mountains up in Burnsville and Spruce Pine, Newland, up on Pigeon Roost and Upper Roost and Lower Roost. I'm kidding you, they really are places. Named that, and I preached all over that. And I'd hear somebody stand up in church and say, I'm just about to give up. Pray for me, I'm thinking about quitting. I thought, what kind of idiot would want to quit? This is great. Well, he's just faking, wanting somebody to feel sorry for him. Ain't nobody going to quit this. Son, it wasn't long till I got the absolute spiritual snot slapped out of me. And brother, I've had it many, many times since. And then I started thinking, I know what them people meant when they were about ready to quit. I know what they meant when they said that. I used to think it was faking when they stood up and said, I'm about ready to blow my head off. Son, I don't believe in faking now. I've been there. Started to say done that. But I ain't. Pretty cool, huh? I blowed my head off and I'm still here preaching. But I felt like I have before. Felt like my head's been blowed off. Now here's what they forget to tell you on TV. Here's what they forget to tell you. You know what Paul said to these people? Who did hinder you? On TV, preachers give you the idea that once you get saved, that's it, man. No problems. If you believe their doctrine, you don't ever get sick. You don't ever want for nothing.
Matter of fact, if you believe enough, you'll have plenty of money, all kinds of nice things. They forget to tell you that there's somebody trying to stop you from coming to Jesus, looking at Jesus after you're saved. He don't want you to come before you get saved, and then he don't do nothing but mess with you after you're saved. Now, so let somebody tell me who it is trying to stop you from coming to the Lord. Who is it? The devil. All right? Come on up here. He looks more like the devil than anybody else in here right now. So here's the devil. Did I get the right man, sister? His wife said I picked the right man. Okay. Amen. Now, here's the devil. Now, his job is to stop this man from living with the Lord. All right, come on, devil. All right. Now, he hinders him. He hinders him. Here's you something to hinder him with. Here's the late video game. Here's old big fat lip Angelina Jolie. And here's old Snoop Poop Doggy Dog. And here's old P.P. Diddy. Old P. Diddy got pee on his face. And here's Usher that needs to be ushered out of the building. And here you're going to do all this stuff to keep him from serving God. Now, that word hinder is a much stronger word than what you think it is. You know what I used to think hinder meant? When I first got saved, I thought, what's me hinder this flower? Like a little breeze blowing up, that was hinder. That ain't what it says. The dictionary says hinder means to get in the way of, to hold back. That's hindering. Try to live for the Lord, Lee. Go to the Lord. I'm hindering him. Easy there. All right. I'm hindering him. Now, that's the devil's job, to hinder him. All right. Now, he's going to try to live for the Lord, and he's going to hinder him. All right? Go at it. All right? He's going to try to live for the Lord. Now, listen. These fights can get out of hand. If you saw our fights at camp, it can turn into a wrestle match. Come on. Now, you're not doing your job, devil. All right. Now, there. Bless God, kill him. Amen. No, all right. Whoa. Don't let this get out of hand. Now, wait a minute. You come just cutting up, brother. That's what it's like trying to live for the Lord. Bible said what? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers. It feels just like that trying to live for God. If it's so easy, I'd be doing it. Salvation is free, and it's just all you got to do is come to Jesus, look and live, like he said. But son, after that, it's a fight to the blessed God finish. Amen? I have been fighting for 32 years there. And brother, I'm telling you, it's a fight every day. I get tired, I get weak. Like that song says, sometimes I'm weak, and if the devil walks over me, I'm telling you, sometimes I lose. Sometimes I mess up. But boy, something inside me says, get back and hit him again. Hey, listen, the way you win this fight is you don't quit. You know what's wrong with some of you people this morning? You got tired of fighting and you just gave up. Jack Hiles witnessed to Elvis Presley in the flesh, right on the elevator. I'm not here to judge Jack Hiles or Elvis Presley. I'm just going to tell you what he said. Tell you what he said Elvis said. I've heard a lot of different opinions about Elvis. I don't know. Between him and God, he made it, got saved or whatever. I don't know. But he talked to Elvis Presley on the elevator, and he said, Elvis, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been saved? And Elvis Presley told him, he said, my grandma took me to a church of God when I was little in the mountains, and I got saved. And he said, I try to do right. And all them years, Elvis, you know, he'd try to sing them gospel songs like he was feeling guilty. And all that stuff. And I'm not saying he was or he wasn't. His life sure didn't say that he was. But that's between him and God. And he said this. Kyle said, well, what's wrong? Why'd you just go live for the devil like you did? And Elvis said, I got tired of fighting it. And I got tired of keeping them rules. Is that where you are this morning? What's hindered you? All right, fellas, sit down there just a second. Now, let me ask you a question. Be real quiet. And let's see if we can figure out what's got you this morning. If I was a doctor, I'd say, do you hurt here? Do you have high blood pressure, diabetes, whatever? Let me ask you some questions. Number one, were you hindered by the inconsistency of professing Christians? Now, I'm serious when I say this. Are you listening to me? What got you messed up? Why ain't you on fire like you used to be? Were you hindered by the inconsistency of professing Christians. Now, all that is a ministerial way of saying, did you have your confidence in preachers and somebody, and they messed up and it threw you for a loop? But just so you'll think I study and I'm a real preacher, I say, were you hindered by the inconsistency of professing Christians? What I really mean is, did you have your eyes on somebody and they turned out to be a hypocrite and it messed you up? That's what I really mean. You got that, ain't you? You understand that? There's so many people that say, well, Brother Danny, I was going to a church and a preacher turned out to be a crook and he stole the money and run off with a piano player and all that, and I've been messed up ever since. What? Is that what got you messed up this morning? Let's see if we can help you a little bit. I understand you. I understand how you feel. I've seen a lot of preachers mess up since. I've seen a lot of it. I've seen it. I know best friends of mine that used to stand and preach the gospel and probably out drunk right now. And you know what a lot of people do? They'll say, well, if that's preachers, I ain't never going back to church. When that thing come out on Jim Baker and Jimmy Swagger and all that stuff, there's multiplied thousands of people said, I'll never step foot in another church again, and are sitting there today thinking that they got a good reason not to go to church. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. Let me help you. Your eyes is supposed to be on Jesus Christ. He'll never let you down. He'll never disappoint you. He'll always be what He said. He never changes. Keep your eyes on Him. Every preacher in this world lets you down sooner or later, somehow, some way. There ain't no way they can live up to everything for thanks they can. Amen? Are you listening to me? Now listen, you say, well, yeah, you mean tell me we can't believe in no preacher? Not completely you can't. They're just like you are. We're made out of the same stuff you are, man. We're sinners just like you, saved by grace. Amen? People say, well, I don't think a preacher ought blah, 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 blah. You're messed up in your head, brother. We're all sinners. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. I'll never forget, boy, hearing news about some of my preacher friends, and it hurt me. But I remember thinking, that preacher didn't save me, and that preacher didn't die for me, and that preacher ain't the one I'm going to stand in front of one of these days, and that preacher ain't the one that's going to put me in heaven or hell. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus, and I'm going on. Are you listening? It's all right to look to a preacher as he follows the Lord. That's what Paul said. Follow me as I follow Christ. As long as I lead you toward the Lord, follow me. If I take a step out of the way, don't follow me. Amen? Keep your eyes on the Lord, brother. Keep your eyes. There's a lady told me one time, she said, Danny, I want you to come eat dinner with us, and I'm fixing you a big dinner. And I said, okay. Sunday morning came. I was getting ready to come over to the house. She said, my little girl's scared to death of you. And I said, ah. She said, she's scared to death of you coming over to my house. And all the way over, I thought, I wonder why her kid's scared of me. I ain't never done nothing to her. And then it hit me. It hit me. I thought, the only time that kid's ever even seen me is when I'm doing just what I'm doing right now. And if that's the only time you see it, you think we sleep with a suit on. And we wake up and our hair ain't messed up or nothing. One of them girls told me one time, said, Brother Danny, your hair's never messed. Oh, yeah, it is. Well, I rode a motorcycle one day and it really messed up. See, I can make it into a fro if I want to. And they think we sleep with a suit on and we wake up every morning and go, glory to God! This is the day the Lord hath made, and our breath will stink, and our clothes are not wrinkled. Brother, we wake up cussing that alarm clock just like you do every morning. I went to sleep by the time I woke up at 4. I went back to sleep about 6:30, and then my alarm clock went off. I was like, I want to throw that thing through the wall. And that little girl thought that I'm always, in her mind, she thought I was going to come in her house and say, all right, girl, have you got your room clean, bless God? You hear me? See, that's what they think. When somebody saw me and I was out sometime uptown, I said, I've never seen you in blue jeans before. They were devastated. Do you think I wear a suit mowing my grass? I wear my wife beater shirt. If I do, if I don't, I don't wear one at all. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something, brother. Get your eyes off preachers and get them on Jesus. Some of that's preachers' fault. Preachers have built themselves up to try to be gods in front of people, and it ain't right. It ain't right. I believe you ought to respect the man of God. I believe you ought to honor God's man, and I believe you ought to follow him and honor the pastor and all that, brother. But we ain't God. We didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. Keep your eyes on him. We're hindered by the inconsistency of professing Christians. Let me ask you another. Got that and took care of? You say, well, I just went to church and I thought the world of this preacher. And when he went bad, I've just never felt right since. It's your fault. Get your eyes on Jesus. You shouldn't have that much confidence in him to start with. Grow up, brother. Grow up. Get your eyes on the Lord. Number two, were you hindered by persecution, misunderstanding, or opposition? I found out early on that it's easy to get your feelings hurt in church. You can do your dead level best trying to help, and people takes it wrong, and you get misunderstood, and it'll hurt your feelings. Ladies always have a problem with it. Men do too, but ladies seem like, let's just say that you went in and before our camp meeting. Miss Sue usually does our flowers here, but let's just say she went down to Joe Bell's or somewhere, I don't know where they buy stuff like that now, huh? Oh, okay. It's not Joe Bell's no more. But anyway, let's say she took her own money, bought these flowers. It was camp meeting time. They was orange and burgundy and gold and everything. And she worked real hard and she put them together and all of that. You know, and she worked real hard and put them. And oh, she was so proud of them things, set them in the church. And then the first service of camp, she just sat back there. She couldn't even listen for looking at them flowers. Oh, man, I've done something for the Lord. And after the service, the two women stand around and one of them said, well, where'd that mess come from? I don't know, but them's the ugliest things I've ever seen in my life. Good night. Don't even match. Don't even match the carpet or the pews or nothing, Lord. That's ugly. Now, right there is when most women get their feelings hurt real bad. Have you ever tried to do something for the Lord and then find out somebody's talking about you? It hurt your feelings. Have you ever got your feelings hurt in church? If you ain't been around very long, have you? Listen, brother, you've got to toughen up. So you're going to get your feelings hurt. Things ain't always going to go the way you like them. If I quit every time I got my feelings hurt, sometimes I'll preach my whole head off and scream and holler with a headache and a sore throat. And there's about three people tell me they enjoyed it. And some of you just walk on by and don't even look at me. That is bad. I am going to quit. I talk myself about killing myself. But when that happens and the devil said, nobody loves you, nobody cares about you, I go home and I say, dear God, you called me to preach. I'm preaching for you. If they like it, all right. If they don't, all right. As long as I can have a clear conscience between me, that's all that matters. You got to keep looking at him. You get your feelings hurt. Well, I went down there for four straight weeks and then I had a little snotty nose and nobody even called me or come and visited me. One lady told me, I was out 3 weeks and nobody come visit me. She never goes and visits nobody. She never calls nobody. That woman never even been on visitation one time. And whining about nobody come see her. Boy, it's getting quiet in here this morning. And then, lady called me one time. Marion, she called me. It's been years ago. She said, is this Danny Castle? I said, yes, it is. Maybe. Why you want to know? Maybe it is, maybe it ain't. She said, is this Danny Castle? I said, yes, ma'am, it is. I didn't like the tone of her voice. I hate it when I get them phone calls. She said, I want you to know you owe me. I said, ma'am, who are you? That's not important. I learned later, when somebody calls you and don't even tell you who they are, just hang up. If they ain't going to tell you who they are, they ain't even worth talking to. It's like somebody writing a letter to the preacher and won't find their name to it. Big chicken. You can write your letter, sign your name to it, buddy. That's like people come to me and they'll say, well, Brother Danny, there's some things going on I think you need to know about, but I'm not at liberty to say who it is. Well, if you ain't at liberty to say who it is, you ain't at liberty to talk about it. Amen. Amen. Amen, preacher. Well, anyway, she called me and she said, you've upset my son. I said, ma'am, I don't know you or your son. What are you talking about? She said, it's just literature. It's just literature you people are giving out. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. It was near Christmas time. And the guys from the church have been out there at the shopping center giving out tracts. She said, it's got my son tore all to pieces. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. She said, why do you let people at your church do that? I said, look, I ain't God. I don't tell them what to give, what they can. I mean, they're just these boys out trying to help. She said, it's got my son tore up. Her son about 10 years old. And they had a track. I don't know if y'all probably don't remember this. He might. A couple of them might. There used to be a track called Ho-Ho. And it had a picture of Santa Claus on the front of it. It was pretty rough, really. But he had a pitchfork. Had Santa Claus with a pitchfork. And he had a tail coming out like here and horns coming out through his Santa Claus hat. She was hot, man. Whoa, she was upset about that. And they'd been giving out that track, and it tore her son all to pieces. And she said, what do you got to say for yourself? I said, look, ma'am, we're just trying to get the message across that Santa Claus has took the place of Jesus, and we're supposed to worship Jesus at Christmas and not give the glory. You know, I was trying to smooth it over. She said, it's got my son tore all to pieces. He believed Santa Claus. He believed now you made him the devil. I said, but ma'am, look, just tell him that his daddy is Santa Claus. Just tell him his daddy. She said, I did. That's a problem. Now he thinks his daddy's the devil. I said, oh my goodness. I mean, I think, oh Lord. I said, look, ma'am, I am sorry. I'm sorry as I can be. I did not. You know what we got? We got misunderstood. Do you think I went to church next Sunday morning and say, we're never going to give out track again. We're going to let this hinder us. No, we didn't. We gave them out at Walmart last night over here. Me and a couple of these boys. You know why? Because I'm not going to let misunderstanding hinder me. Like that woman come around one day. This man was going down the road like this. And it was a dirt road. And the car comes sliding around there sideways. And she hollered out the road and said, pig! And boy, he got mad and hollered out the window, swine! And he went around that curb, and there's a great big pig about that big right in the middle of the road. She's trying to warn that fool. And he misunderstood. He misunderstood. Now, I'm telling you, brother, it hurts when you try your best. You stand up and teach a class, or you stand up and sing a song and find out people's making fun of you, or people talk about you, or say bad. Buddy, it hurts. It hurts. You say, well, Brother Danny, I got my feelings. There's thousands of people in Burke County and Caldwell County that won't go to church this morning because they said they got hurt. I got hurt. I got hurt. Well, get over it. Yes. Serve God. Jesus never hurt you. Jesus never done you wrong. Don't take it out on Him because His young'uns don't always act like they're supposed to. Ain't His fault. I made up my mind years ago that color high water, by the help of God, I was going to see this thing through. By the help of the Lord, I'm going to wind up seeing the Lord face to face. I want to see how it all comes out. I don't want to let nothing hinder me. What's wrong with you this morning? What's your problem? I ain't got time to get in all these. I got a bunch of them. What's your problem? Number three, were you hindered by some severe trial or time of sorrow? I could write you that paper full right there of people at a church because they got divorced. Oh, I've seen them. I've seen them hit the altar. Preacher, pray for me. My wife's left me. Pray for me. My wife's left me. I've seen that 100 times. And they do real good for a while. And then if things work out, they're out there in a bar somewhere. Drunk. A divorce is rough. A divorce is one of the most terrible things that a person can endure. You think dying is bad? It ain't near as bad as a divorce. It ain't sin to die. Y'all listening to me? It don't dishonor God to die. It don't bring shame to the cause of Christ to die. A divorce is worse than death. If you've never been through it, you ought to shout your head off that God's give you a good mate and you've been a good mate. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't no reason to quit serving Him. We're living in a generation that thinks as long as I'm happy and my needs are met and I feel good and everybody caters to me and everything goes good, I'll serve God. But the first thing goes wrong, I quit, I'm out the door. Brother, that ain't the way this thing's supposed to work. Remember, we're wrestling. We're wrestling. We're wrestling. Get back up and fight. Get back up and fight this morning. Get back on fire for God. You say, Brother, that ain't no use. I've failed so many times. I don't care if you fell 1,000 times. Get back up and hit it again. 1 John 1:9 is the Bible. Confess your sin, go and nail it to the cross, and go on and serve God. I can tell you.
Get to them, let it get to them, and let it get to them, and finally got out. Number four. Were you hindered by some willful act of disobedience? There's people sitting right in front of me this morning. You got a sin in your life, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, a big sin. Maybe you kept it hidden. Nobody don't know it. And that sin has hindered you. You're not what you ought to be. And you know it because of sin. Maybe it's sexual sin. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's some kind of habit, internet, dishonesty. Maybe you're stealing money from work and you just keep getting more and more money. I don't know. I'm just like a doctor's troubleshooting. I knew a man one time. Got saved. Got on fire for God. Really on fire for God. Again, I can't be too plain because of the closeness of everybody in this part of the country. Wasn't long till a young lady come to church. This young man was in business. Well, I guess he was about 30. This girl was in her 20s. She was pretty. He helped her out a few times. This man was on fire. I'm telling you, never missed a service. One of the most dedicated men I knew. And because he helped her out a few times, it wasn't long till some sparks flew between them and they wound up having an affair. I think she was divorced. He was married. It went on about 2 weeks. It all blew up. And all hell broke loose. And the wife was going to go claw her eyes out. They was going to fight. And, I mean, it's just a big mess. You know how it goes. Well, they got everything worked out. Everything worked out with his wife. He apologized. He said, it was only 2 weeks. I'm sorry. The other girl went on her way. All that. I stood up one Sunday morning and preached. And I preached hard. And that guy came to altar. And he bawled at the altar. And some people prayed with him. And I remember standing there thinking, glory to God, this thing's done, it's over with. Praise God, hallelujah. And he didn't come back Sunday night. Or Wednesday night, or next Sunday. 2 Sundays later, come back again. I stood up and preached again. He hit the altar again, bawling his eyes out. I said, praise God, he's getting the victory now. He's going to get over this thing. Everybody's going to make it. Make a long story short, he never could get over it. And the fallout, listen to me, the fallout of the situation done more damage than the situation itself did. Because he couldn't get over it. Listen, it don't take God a split second to forgive you. A murder, any sin. God, I'm not belittling sin. You just don't belittle the grace and mercy of God. You know what people do? You keep beating yourself up and beating yourself up and beating yourself up. And feeling guilty, and feeling guilty. And people throw guilt on you, and your kin folks throw guilt on you. You know, they'll beat you down. And there's thousands of people out here that's out of church right now that committed a sin and tried to repent, and they just can't get the victory. Because they won't nail it to the cross and leave it. You know what you got to do? I preached this sermon one night in the church in South Carolina, and when I got through, and I'm going to leave the rest of it out and stop right here. When I got through preaching, there was a woman about 40 years old hit the altar bawling. And she had just got out of prison. The reason she went to prison, because her and her boyfriend, she was having an affair with, went to their trailer one night, and her boyfriend shot and killed her husband. Shot and killed him. And they both prison, him for a long time, her for a few years. And she stood in front of that church that night and she said, I'm putting this thing behind me. I'm leaving it behind me. And from now on, life's going to be... And she just bawled and the whole church nodded their head and nobody was mad at her. Nobody was down on her. You know what she done? She dealt with what was hindering her and got it under the blood and went on and served God. You know what's wrong with some of y'all sitting here this morning? You prayed and asked God to forgive you 1,000 times for the same thing. Over and over and over. I know what I'm talking about. I've been pastoring 8 years. You're hung up
you'd be better off to ask him one time and mean it and thank him 1,000 times than to ask him 1,000 times over and over and over to forgive you the same sin. If you've asked him and meant it and turned from it in your heart, he put that thing under the blood, and don't you let the devil bring it back up for none of your kin folks or nobody else. It's gone! Have you been hindered by some willful act of disobedience? It's like a fighter. Them fighters go, if the devil ever gets you down, he'll stomp your guts out if you don't get back up. What has hindered you? Got something in your heart? Let's stand.